Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
The three-man weave is finally officially back. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T, my man, Ray Jeezy. What's going on, fam?
When you buy muffins from the grocery store, you don't slice them in half. Somebody does that at work. It bothers me. Anyway, sorry. My day's been great. Let's talk about sports.
Let's get to our tradition, the pregame.
That was quick. Good job. Right into it. Get me
no
ready.
Foreplay, baby.
I don't know how to take that any different way, man. No. Anyway, first we have Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network and Groundbreaking Sports to discuss of last Friday's Redskins Jets preseason game. We're gonna review that game. Also, we're gonna talk about the Beltway battle. That's a Beltway battle.
The battle of 295.
The battle of the Beltway between the Orioles and Nationals. We'll have Cecilia Towns from GladiatorHairs.com to discuss the USA women's basketball team winning the gold. And finally, we'll also talk about the USA men's basketball team winning the gold. Melo winning it. Melo being a 3-time Olympic gold medalist and also the all-time leading scorer in USA basketball history. So we'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about the Washington Redskins. We're actually late on the call right now. We're going to have to talk. Let's talk about it in the process. The Redskins beat the Jets 22-18. Before our guest comes on, and he's running a little late, but, did anybody watch the game? Get an opportunity to see the game.
Yeah, I watched the game with you.
We did watch the game. Yes, together, like a family.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. And, what did you come out in that game? What do you mean watching in that game? I mean, other than the alcohol and whatnot.
I came to realize that Washington didn't play Kirk Cousins because of RG3's great performance the night before. They didn't want to put Kirk in that pressure situation this early in the season.
We did talk about the preseason.
That's what absolutely. Look, if you, I'm gonna go off of what Wilt just said. The Redskins last season, Trent Williams was out. So his RG3's blind side didn't play, but he still had to play. Kirk Cousins, Trent Williams is out, and Kirk Cousins doesn't have to play. And a lot of people come out, they've come out and say, well, it was a competition. But if you remember back then, RG3 was announced the starter, right?
It
wasn't a competition. He was announced the starter. So what's the difference between last season and this season? I don't want to hear that.
I love insinuating conspiracy theories.
But, you dig, though? You dig what I'm talking about,
yeah,
though? Seriously.
I feel you.
If I'm RG3 and I'm looking back at the Washington Redskins and looking what they're doing now in DC, I'm thinking to myself, well, Trent Williams is one of the best tackles in the game, and you had Willie Smith replace him, who was horrible, and you cut him the following week. But
with the fudge,
seriously. But for Kirk Cousins, you're gonna have him play. Him not play in the second preseason game.
Nah, I didn't take away that, man. I was just trying to start.
It's just
trying
to, you should take it.
Just trying to raise your blood pressure a little bit.
You should take it that way.
Before we started the show. What I did take away. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Ray.
I just wanted to say Robert Kelly looks really good, slimmed down since college, but is he another Marcus Mason at this point? I that's what I'm wondering. I'm hoping he's not. Marcus Mason was always a star during preseason. If we remember him. You remember him?
Yeah, I remember. I think just because of the running back situation as a whole, he's not another Marcus Mason because, outside of, okay, you have Matt Jones, who's unproven. Mm-hmm. You have Chris Thompson, who can't run between the tackles, who's a third down back. Where else on the roster are you going to look for a guy who could come in and carry the load for you offensively at the running back position? So you have to start to evaluate and think seriously about Robert Kelly being your opening day starter and potentially being your starter for the rest of the season.
How come though, whenever a guy is a star running back, it's okay for him to be injury prone, a la Darren McFadden? Everybody knew coming out of college he was injury prone, but he was still a top pick. So now you have a potential starting running back in Matt Jones who, to me, looked good in this preseason game to start. It's unfortunate. He has talent and he has breakaway speed, which is what you need in today's NFL with the speed of the game. Why is that now all of a sudden a big knock on him? And injuries happen so much throughout, training camp and preseason. It happens every year. People get hurt. This is a tough sport to play. I just think that's unfair criticism, and I still think he's the best back on the team. But, again, R. Kelly, he's emerging. I like what I've seen.
Huh? He's bumping and grinding.
There you go.
He's bumping and grinding.
Yep. R. Kelly. Rob Kelly, that is his name, you know, the famous singer that had that tape that we didn't see.
No, I'm just trying to, R. Kelly, I mean, Matt Jones in that game showed that he could fumble, that he fumbles and whatnot. Like he bobbled the handoff. He fumbled the handoff. And to be honest with you, on one play, as he went down, he bobbled the ball, almost fumbled that one as well. So to me, Matt Jones still has issues with fumbling. That's still an issue with him as a running back, as a feature running back.
I think that's something that, you know, comes down to coaching. Mm-hmm. Who's the running back coach? I'm sorry, I don't know. You're a Redskins fan. I'm not. But something you got to teach. Tiki Barber had fumbling issues. He was able to overcome it. High and tight. Why can't you develop that?
Yes, and right now we got Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio and also Groundbreaking Sports. Hey, Lex, how are you doing? We're talking Washington Redskins. We had a couple questions for you. First off, what did you think of the first preseason game?
It's the first preseason game.
The second preseason game.
I don't get excited about preseason games.
Thank you.
I mean, you can't base what you saw in the first two games and say, okay, well, this is what the Redskins are going to offer us this year. Because the second game, Kirk Cousins didn't even play, Deshaun didn't play, Trent didn't play. I don't remember seeing Pierre Garçon. I don't remember seeing Reed. I mean, you didn't have any of those guys, so I don't know how you can judge. And you didn't have the new quarterback, Josh Norman. So I don't know how you can judge the Redskins by that preseason game.
So you mentioned Kirk Cousins not playing. Do you have an issue with him not playing that game, that second preseason game?
Absolutely. I mean, no, there's no reason why he should not have played, you know. But I think what it is, I think, you know, the Redskins feel like he's doing enough in practice. You don't want him to get hurt. You saw what happened to Matt Jones. He got injured. You don't want Kirk getting hurt from one of the, you know, they play one of the top defensive teams in football, in the Jets. You don't want them to get hurt in that first series. You know, this week they got the Buffalo Bills, another situation where potential injury could happen. You know, so, you know, he's supposed to play, I guess, a half, but you don't want them to get hurt. And I think that was part of the reason why, you know, Coach Gruden sat him.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. Last season, in the second preseason game, Robert Griffin III was the starting quarterback. They didn't say it was a competition at the time. And he did play that second preseason game with Trent Williams out and having Willie Smith playing the left tackle position. So if you're somebody observing the situation, what's the difference?
Well, I'm going to say this. Robert Griffin III is gone. So if you're going to try to base what happened last year with what going on this year, I'm going to be honest with you, you're wasting your time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because John Gruden wanted Kirk Cousins to be his quarterback, point blank period. So, I mean, he came out, you know, later on that year, he came out and said that, you know, yeah, we said Robert was the starting quarterback, but deep down, that's not really what we, you know, had in mind. So, I wouldn't waste too much energy on that because Robert looks pretty decent. If you're into preseason, he looks pretty good, you know. But I'm not a preseason guy, you know. I know the third preseason game is the all important game. A lot of people, you know, they put a lot of weight in that third preseason game. So the Redskins are waiting to see. I mean, regular season will be here, man. They got to play the Steelers. They got to play the Cowboys. And they got to play the Giants in the first 3 weeks of the season. We'll see how good the Redskins are real soon.
Lex, this is Will. I got a question for you. The current trend around the NFL is teams are resting the majority of their starters. How do you feel about that, especially because, and we all know that training camps are shorter and you don't have a lot of physical contact in those practices. You can't really tackle and go to the ground, and you can't wear shoulder pad. Do you think that them not playing their starters ill prepares them for the first couple of weeks of football? And that's why we see what some of us consider not the best quality football the first couple of weeks of the season.
Well, me personally, I think this generation is soft. So I'm I'm gonna just keep it 100 with you guys. I've always thought that even, you know, the basketball players as well as the football players, they don't like contact. So yeah, these guys, they don't want to get hurt. You know what I'm saying? But guys are getting hurt the first 2-3 weeks of the season, of the regular season, because they didn't work hard enough during the summer. You know, growing up, you know, you had the 2-a-days and you played with the pads on and you practiced with the pads on. You know, it was full contact. Now, what, once a week you get contact? You know, everybody's kind of playing touch football. You can't hit the quarterback. You know, even when it's live, they don't even want you to hit the quarterback. So the game is changing. You know, flag football, I know a lot of people hate to say that. Hey, we are definitely around the corner from flag football, professional flag football soon.
I don't know if I agree, but we can't argue right now. Again, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. My man Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network is joining us. And let's talk about the people who actually did play. And a friend of our show, Rashad Ross, if you listen, what did you take of his play? You think he's improving?
Well, I like the Redskins. The Redskins have a lot of depth at the wide receiver spot. I think that's probably the one position outside of maybe the defensive line where they have a lot of depth. I think they also, they've gained some depth in the defensive back area, but I think the wide receiver position is their strength. Ross is really good. The problem is, how is Ross gonna get into the rotation? Because you have Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. Those are your two guys. And then Crowder is your slot guy. So where does Ross fit into the equation? And then on top of that, you draft a rookie wide receiver right now. He's on the shelf, but he's a playmaker. And we're not even talking about the tight ends. You add a Vernon Davis. You already have, you already have Reeves. So I don't know, man. It's not enough balls to go around. So that's a great problem to have if you're Jay Gruden.
Right. And I agree. I think you mentioned the word depth. I think that's the key. You need to have depth at every position. And with DeSean Jackson, he's kind of fragile. I would agree that you need to definitely continue to keep a full roster of receivers like they have now. Talented receivers at that.
So Lex, this is Wally. This is, I guess, going to the third final preseason game. I know we don't believe in preseason, but the third game is the dress rehearsal game. What do you expect to see? What do you want to see out of that game?
I want to see no one get injury. That's the first thing I want to see. I would like to see the first unit offense. You know, I would like to see them produce some touchdowns. And I would like to see, you know, the first defense. I'd really like to see them make some plays. And again, stay away from the injuries. Because, you know, we may have lost Pat Jones for a couple of weeks. You know, last week he got hurt against the Jets. So, you know, we can't afford to lose any of the key guys, especially when, like I said, the first three games of the season are very important games. I mean, you're prime time. You're playing the Steelers, a Super Bowl contender. You got to play, you know, your arch nemesis the second week. Third, you got the Giants. And then the fourth game, don't forget your guy. RG3 returns to D.C. I want everybody to be healthy just for that game.
Of course.
So
of course.
I hope Robert can stay alive for 4 weeks so we can see him, you know, at full strength when he comes back to D.C. So, I just like to see the offense productive. And that's the main thing, man, and not get any injuries.
Yeah, definitely. Lex, we're about to close this segment out, but before we close it out, how can people reach you on social media?
Well, you can catch me on at Lex Diamonds on Twitter, Instagram, Lex Diamonds without the A. Heritage Sports Radio, you know, we're getting ready to start the college football season up, so getting geared up for that. And Groundbreaking Sports, sort of the new baby, working on some things, you know, documentaries and to jump like that, man, TV shows, sports management, you know, it's a lot coming down the pike. So, you can just, like I said, you guys can follow me, Lex Diamonds without the A. I'm even trying Snapchat, guys. I'm, you know, trying to play a little bit with that, but
it's complicated.
But Twitter and Instagram all day, every day.
Hey, Lex, make sure you give us that information so we can, like, you know, tweet it out or whatnot, okay?
Hey, I'm boring, though. I mean, Snapchat for me is boring. I wouldn't want to watch me on Snapchat. It's very boring.
I'm talking about your, like, your projects and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of stuff going on music-wise, and, you know, we've added the sports. So, yeah, definitely we'll keep you guys in the loop.
All right, Lex, thanks for calling in. We appreciate you, my man.
Hey, no doubt, man. Let's go Redskins.
Let's go. All right, stay blessed.
Yeah, I just want to say, in the age of concussions that we're in, CTE, I don't think it's flag football. I think you have to take more precautions. There wasn't enough research done years ago when Dick Butkus and the quote-unquote tougher guys played the game. The game wasn't as fast either back then. The guys weren't as big. That's the one point I disagree. I didn't want to mention it, though, because I wanted to make sure that we continue with the interview. But a guy that came to mind was Josh Cribbs, a local guy. Mm-hmm. Who has dealt with so many concussions and admitted that he still has memory loss and headaches. It's scary. Is he going to be there for his children in the future? Dominique Foxworth did an interview recently, and he said his kids do not need to play football. He said the only reason he played is to make a better life for his family, period. He said their life is set. I think the NFL, the popularity of it will eventually die down a bit. I was going to say diminish, but
it's
going to decrease because of this, because less kids are going to want to play, or less parents are going to want their kids playing football.
No, I agree. I mean, I've already gone, you know.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you went, and I agree with you, right? Yeah. I will make sure I did.
Yeah, I've already gone on record and said that, the popularity of football is decreasing ever so slightly over the past couple. Starting about 2 years ago, it's starting to slowly decrease. Basketball is the world's second favorite sport besides soccer. American football is not, in America is still, you know, a huge event because it's only 16 games, one day a week.
Yeah.
So it's 16 events, and the NFL does a great job at marketing and getting us all to believe that those 16 events that happen are something magical and something special, and we should be glued to our television. But as you continue to see, issues such as, you know, the concussions and the treatment of players after they've retired and left the game. Then also some, you know, the NFL, the commissioner's office, particularly trying to, be essentially a dictator, making up the rules as we go. I think you're going to start to slowly see people be turned off from the game.
Yeah. You know what? Thinking back to that conversation we had, people should go back and listen to it. I did disagree because I felt as though college football, the game is still so big. The culture is still so big in so many places, especially in the southern states. But maybe I've had a change of heart. I'm thinking that the enemy, the Dallas Cowboys just had Dez Bryant go down with a concussion today. Was it today? Or was it yesterday? I think it was today he had a concussion. Maybe yesterday. Yeah, but nonetheless, he had a concussion, and it's just – it's continuing to grow, this phenomenon of brain, of the concussions and brain injuries.
Well, let's table the discussion, just have it after the break. All right, just a little bit. It's the Urban Sports Save.
But ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My man.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times, without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it was split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Urban Sports Scene, we're back. Ray, Wally, Will T. Just had my man Lex Diamond on the show. We're going to continue to discuss his point of view on the Redskins' first two preseason games. But if you want to reach us on Twitter, please hit us out. Urban Sports Scene, no S after sports. Also, check us out on the Football Garbage Time podcast, www.footballgarbagetime.com. We're going to be battling this show, Hanku Wong and Ryan Whitfield. I got their names right this time.
Yes, you did.
NFL picks this upcoming season. Last year, we didn't do too well against them. I make a note of that every time. So, check us out on Twitter.
We did a horrible job.
I'll speak for myself. I definitely did.
Those
guys
didn't
pick
so
a lot of us. Well, we turned it on at the end of the season. Those guys don't pick a lot of us.
They don't.
But yeah, Check those guys out though. Footballgarbagetime.com.
They're very PC. But back to the discussion, about concussions. I don't want to like table that and make sure I kind of ignored that discussion.
No, you didn't ignore it. It was just a response to a comment that Lex made, basically saying that today is flag football and today's game is soft, which again, I disagree with. The game is faster than ever. The guys are bigger than ever and, injuries happen all the time. There's Bryant. Again, we mentioned him. How much has he been hurt in his career? You know, is he labeled as injury prone? Mm-hmm. Not to my knowledge. I could be wrong, but from what I've seen, he hasn't been.
You know what? It's interesting, talk. And I know this is, you know, this may go a little bit off subject, but you know, we're here now. So I'll bring it up. It's interesting that we talk about the culture of football, changing the culture of football when it's hard for that culture to be changed because you have fans like us or fans like Lex just saying that players now in the game is soft. Whereas, you know, I don't necessarily think it's soft. I think it's we have more data, more information.
Right.
And now we take better precaution to put our kids in a safer position and also to take the players for the NFL players, you know, for players on the multiple levels of high school, peewee, college, and that professional to put them in a better situation so they don't have to damage themselves long term.
Guys like Michael Irvin, Josh Cribbs, people that you can think of who have laid motionless on the field with the ever-evolving protocol the NFL puts in place. It's definitely promoted player safety, and it's, to me, saved some people, including these guys I just mentioned. I'm sure we could probably think of more guys.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. I'm sure
really
we
sat here and thought about it. Those are two examples that come to mind. Michael Irvin stands out, and that was years ago. But, again, it's even better today. Just again, like you said, the research that has been done, they didn't like that movie that came out about concussions with Will Smith, but that's a whole nother subject. The NFL is like the government, I swear. The way they go about things, but going back to the Redskins, I have no problem with, Jay Gruden arresting his players. And to me, if there is some drama around it, it does not compare to past year's drama with this team, starting with the owner and the name and, the off the field stuff that took place, Haynesworth comes to mind. This is fine, man. The Redskins right now operating like a real football franchise and everybody's enjoying it. Who's a fan of just football, just the NFL, not just the Redskins.
And I don't mean to cut you off, Walter, but I just want to interject. To me, from my perspective, this is how I looked at it. If you're not going to start Trent Williams, you're not going to start, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, you have to sit out Kirk Cousins because then you send the impression to the rest of the team and to the fan base that Kirk Cousins isn't on the elite level with these other three guys who were sitting out who are the core offensive stars of our team. So I think you kind of had to sit Kirk Cousins out. I know a lot of people want to see Kirk Cousins come out and, throw the ball 20 times, you know, so people can get their first glimpse of how he may look during the season. Mm-hmm. But when a situation where if you're going to start, you're going to rest your elite, offensive starters, then you have to rest the quarterback also because you send a message to the team and to the fan base that he isn't on the level of the rest of these guys. If you don't play those guys and you play him.
My only thing is that he's not on a level, and I have a problem with all quarterbacks who sit and they're not Tom Brady, Peyton Manning's retired,
Aaron Rodgers.
If you're not on a Drew Brees, if you're not at that level, you shouldn't be missing any preseason games. You can get limited work. I'll give you limited work, but you shouldn't be missing preseason games. Look at Teddy Bridgewater. He missed the game. I didn't agree with that either. You're not at that level. You need that work. And to me, For what we like to say that, you know, Kirk Cousins had a good season last year and he did have a good season last year. But at the same time, against teams that are one of the elite teams or the teams that are upper echelons of the league, he didn't perform at a high level. So to me, he's not that. He needs work. Everybody, when you're not Brady, again, if you're not Brady, who that we know time in and time out, he's going to produce. He can get suspended. We know he's probably going to produce. Drew Brees can miss, you know, some games in the season.
Wow.
I don't like, I'm being real though. No, he can though. He's at that level where he deserves, he gets that clout.
I may not like Drew Brees, but he's at that clout. Aaron Rodgers.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan, but he deserves that clout. When you know if Aaron Rodgers misses game, misses preseason, you feel like, you know what? He'll still play at a good level, high level. I don't know that about Kirk Cousins.
That's true. That's fair. That's very fair.
Well, considering the recent history of quarterbacks in this town, I actually can go beyond recent history.
Mm-hmm.
We can go all the way back to Gus Frerotte for real. I think he's been the best that we've seen in a while. RG3 had that one season, but then when they changed the style of play, he showed that he showed his challenges, his deficiencies.
Of course.
So he's getting that star treatment, but he didn't get the contract. So I mean, I think it's a bit harsh. I know you're not the biggest cousin.
No, I'm fair. Like RG3, you mentioned like RG3, he had one season. Kirk Cousins had one season. Let's just be fair. Let's be fair with the whole analysis of the whole thing. Kirk Cousins hasn't done enough to warrant that type of respect. There are only a certain amount of quarterbacks that have. That's just my point, my opinion. That's why I mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater took his team to the postseason. Teddy Bridgewater won a division. Teddy Bridgewater, that's all he did. He should still played in game number two in the preseason. He's not at that level. Andrew Luck. Eli Manning, they played in the second preseason game.
You know a guy who played a whole half
last weekend?
Who?
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. And he's accomplished how much?
Yeah.
So to me, if we're talking about building a team that's trying to do some special things, period, and at the quarterback position, you want to get better. I don't see how him not playing in the second preseason game is going to hurt him. I feel like if you see that he's in jeopardy or in trouble, take him out. That's what I'm saying. You could have gave him limited series. There has been years with this organization where the coaches say, you know what? I don't like the way the pass rush is. I'm gonna limit my starting quarterback's reps in the second game. I've seen that.
I've seen in the past where there have been quarterbacks such as Michael Vick. I know he's different, but mm-hmm. he went a preseason without playing at all.
That's a different beast.
It's question, but again, Michael Vick, as athletically talented as he was, or athletically gifted, I'm sorry, as he was and talented, he needed work reading defenses.
Well, and so
he should have been out there. So, but it was criticized, but it happens, and that's my point. So Kirk Cousins missing one game is not, to me, we're making it bigger of an issue than what it should be. You'll see him a whole half coming up.
But you said you mentioned Michael Vick real quick. You mentioned him.
I did.
He's proven. He was proven. Regardless of his went with what he needed to read or whatever, Michael Vick took that team to the what? To the NFC Championship game, right? Michael Vick went to Lambeau and beat the Packers, right? In the postseason.
But let me ask you this, though. As a fan, you got to be happy that this is the biggest controversy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying right now.
You have to be happy about that.
No, I agree. I agree what you're saying, but I'm just saying it when you look at it. I'm just saying, like, it's not even controversial, to be honest with you. He didn't play, it's over. But I'm just saying, we're going to look at it like, I'm looking at it as a guy, he should play. He's not at that level. You mentioned Vic. He's not even Vic because Vic was doing things and Vic was carrying the team. He's not a Brady. He's not a Breeze. He's not a Rodgers. Those dudes can sell a whole postseason. A whole preseason. They can do that. He can't.
It's just one game. But going back to another comment that Alex made in reference to Rashad Ross, what a great game. A great game. Four receptions, 58 yards, two touchdowns. Caught a long pass of 39 yards. Great preseason game. He felt like that's kind of irrelevant because it's preseason and then he's where on the depth chart. Again, I think it's important to have depth at the position. And I think that Nyles Paul needs to go.
He may not be there.
Nyles Paul, he's still here. So why is he still here? That's what I asked last week.
I don't get it either. I know what we talked about.
Because right now, is he a tight end or is he a receiver?
He's a tight end.
He's an H-back.
Yeah, that's an H-back. Yeah.
But he's like Cooley, right?
He's like Chris Cooley.
Yeah.
Okay, but.
But they don't even use H-backs like that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, to me, they're looking at him more in a receiver role. That's why they kept him, correct?
Yeah, but they can't. This is my problem with him even playing that tight end receiver role. You got Vernon Davis. He's a better tight end, pass catching tight end. You got, Jordan Reed. The only position.
That can be debated. Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis has hands of,
Nyles Paul drops passes too. That's what I mean. He's better. Nyles Paul drops passes. Like, it's him catching.
And we go back to your previous point. Who's more proven?
Exactly.
That's yeah, Vernon Davis is far more proven.
I'm taking, and he, who's faster? I'll take a Vernon Davis when the house falls in a second.
That was easy.
The house fall is irrelevant to me as a tight end. I don't even know why he has a job, to be honest with you. I know it sounds harsh because for this team, if you're going to look for a pass blocking tight end, he can't, or run blocking tight end, he's not even that dude either. So that's Paulson.
The only thing I'll say about Rashad Ross and the entire team is I don't think the Jets showed anything in that game.
They blitzed a lot.
Huh?
They blitzed.
I don't think they showed much at all.
Leonard Wilkerson showed that.
Oh, Leonard Williams?
Yeah, Leonard Williams showed that maybe you made the wrong pick last year.
Oh, he looked like a beast. He looked like a beast.
He showed that maybe you made the wrong pick last year.
Jay Gruden before the game sounded a bit intimidated based on their game against the Jets last year where they got pushed around, right? Mm. But Colt McCoy had a very good game.
Yeah, he had a good
13-16 against Rashad Ross. Matt Jones started out excellent until the injury. So again, I don't think the Jets came to play as if it was a regular season game. Definitely not. Todd Bowles, much respect to him. I think he's a great coach. We need more African American coaches. That's another subject though. Moving on though, another game to look forward to this week, preseason game number 3. What are you guys expecting outside of Kirk Cousins playing a whole half?
you want to see how the offensive line blocks. You know, is there continuity there? Are they all in one in unison? You want to see, how the secondary holds up.
I like that word, unison.
Yeah.
Like one team.
The O line is the weakness on this team, if you ask me.
No, D line is the weakness.
D line is totally the weakness.
Trent Williams, he's obviously the best you have, right? You got Lichtensteiger, who's been
Would say Morgan Moses is just as good
as Trent Williams, or important.
He's just as important, not just as good.
Morgan Moses is, I mean, he's a fan favorite.
He had a good year last year.
No, he did. So did Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I didn't argue that.
No, I'm just saying.
What are you trying to say? I don't get like.
See, when you like somebody, this is how you advocate for.
To me, you made your point. You said Kirk. I did. I've always
just as important as Trent Williams.
Who?
Morgan Moses. You just.
Because he's a right tackle.
And I said why. You said because he had a good year last year. But he has more to prove.
Did he play? I expect him to play in preseason games. That's the point
That was the argument you were making. Good point. Okay, you got me on that one. I still think that was just a bold statement. Got to come back with something. I made this statement, though, the offensive line is weak. Brandon Sheriff.
I like Brandon Sheriff. As a guard,
he's got a lot to prove.
As a guard,
he's got a lot to prove, man. I don't understand your philosophy sometimes.
Brandon Scherff.
You don't like Kirk, but
I didn't like Kirk. He's a Brandon Scherff had a solid rookie year. He's a solid rookie.
And we listened to the last year show. You were an RG3 advocate until
I was. I think he's gonna fry Cleveland.
You still probably are.
I think he's gonna fry Cleveland.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying. I'm not a big fan. The offensive line to me
struggled. Why you don't like Brandon Scherff?
To me, as a unit, Will T brought him up as a unit. I'm not talking about individual. Well, I did ask about individuals. I'm sorry, but as a unit, though, come on now. They were a weak spot on this team last year. The reason why the running game stumbled after what week 4 or whatever it was.
I believe. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Go ahead.
No, I cut you off.
It's cool.
Nah, I just believe that against the pass, they didn't give them any sacks. Against the run, they was horrible. Though. They weren't physical.
But that was Kirk Cousins, though. He was the difference.
He got the ball out quick.
What?
Thank you.
He got the ball out quick.
I mean, he masked a lot. The offensive scheme masked some deficiencies in pass blocking. Yeah. I won't deny that. But, you know, another year of them together, you want to see how they come out.
Yeah.
You know, they have one of the best, offensive line coaches in Bill Callahan.
So I guess not for the run. Not running. His running schemes are something else.
Well, he's implementing the running schemes Jay Gruden won.
Yeah, Jay Gruden needs to change that. But I want to see that though. That's one thing I do want to see. I want to see since Matt Jones is there, I want to see some of the other running backs step up and see what they can do because it looks like Matt Jones may miss a couple games during the season anyway. So
I'm looking forward to see what Josh Norman does. He's starting to bark now. If y'all haven't seen his most recent interview, I'm looking for him to just continue producing on the field. I'm not going to talk about the team that I root for, but in that NFC South division, Josh Norman was a problem. And I want him to produce the same in Washington. I think Redskins fans who have not necessarily seen him week in and week out, they're going to be treated to somebody who is super talented. If he can control his emotions, but he takes people out of their game too, which I love about him. So, I think it's going to be great.
You think Josh Norman? I have an issue with Josh.
I want to see him this week. That's what I want to see. Buffalo, their quarterback situation is not the best, but I think it'll be a good test though because they got some.
What do you mean it's not the best?
I don't think Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor had a season comparable to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he's got more.
He sure did.
He's got more to prove. You love Tyrod Taylor. I don't like Rex per se. That's one issue I have. Because in Baltimore, I like Tyrod Taylor as well.
I like Rex.
I just think that he does a lot of talking and his teams don't always produce. You know, I think he's not necessarily the best. He focuses more so on defense. It reminds me of your ex-coach, Zorn, who focused so much on the quarterback when he was the head coach. Rex to me is the same way. More of a defensive minded head coach, which is good, but when your offense struggles year in and year out, I think he helped to ruin Mark Sanchez, who was already, you know, on his way down. I think so. Yeah.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair.
Why not?
One, Mark Sanchez was never more than a 50% completion passer in college. We all know the guys who throw under 60% in college don't translate well to the NFL game.
Tom Brady did. That's the exception, right?
There's always an exception to absolutely the rule. Mark Sanchez has consistently shown that he makes bad decisions in the pocket. So there's nothing that Rex Ryan did to help further his terrible decision making process. Mark Sanchez is who he is.
Yeah, I don't blame Rex Ryan for Mark Sanchez.
Nah, I don't fully blame him, but it was under his tenure where Mark Sanchez started. He started out with Rex, correct?
Yeah.
That's when he had a strong running game.
Yeah, and see, he had – Mark Sanchez had tools around him in New York.
Yeah, that's true.
Wally would argue that. I mean, Braylon Edwards, what you talking about?
Winslow?
Yeah.
San Antonio Holmes.
Winslow had LaDainian Thompson.
He had
weapons.
He had some.
Yeah, you know what? I can't argue that. I cannot argue with that. Just looking over, Jericho Cotri is another name that comes to mind. He struggled. But he loved Mark Sanchez. He has like a Mark Sanchez tattoo. I just felt like if you're going to love a guy that much, you're going to develop
him. You sure did.
So that's just my thought.
Anyway, right now we're watching the Orioles and that. The Orioles up 6-0. We'll discuss the Battle of the Beltway after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strasse.
I seen your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to Urban Sports Scene, my man. Will T, Ray G.
Two touchdowns, baby.
And I'm wild. Anyway. Oh, man.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
He's right.
It's
right.
The Urban Sports Scene, Rashawn, but thank you.
You
are a fan
enough
of the show, bro.
Close enough.
Oh, absolutely. He's a friend of the show, just like one of the Orioles that we're watching currently.
Yeah, exactly. He's actually friends with us on. Or not friends. He follows
Mr.
us.
Mr. Adam Jones.
Exactly.
Mr. Adam Jones. Mr.
Jones. Mr. Jones, man. Yeah. So anyway, Steven Strasburg, missed yesterday's start. It's going to be on a 15 day DL. What impact is that for the Nationals? I mean, he was supposed to start the game yesterday and obviously he couldn't because he got hurt.
It's another one of their, starting pitchers that's out of rotation. You know, you already missing Joe Ross. You're trying to backfill that with, AJ Cole or Ronaldo Lopez, who's having a tough outing tonight. The third option would be calling up Lucas Giolito again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that hasn't necessarily worked out ideally the way you would like it to. But, you know, him having a sore elbow probably coincides with his past performance over the his prior three starts. You know, 0-3, I think, with what a 4-something or maybe higher than that ERA. Mm-hmm. I think if he's tired and he's injured and he's having some ailments, he needs to go on the DL, rest and be back for the stretch run.
It's good to be safe. I think, in my opinion, it's nothing to be concerned with. And a lot of people think that because of, you know, who he is, that this can linger on and maybe he may have to have Tommy John surgery down the road. I think Steven Strasburg, the Nationals are doing a great job resting him. I just want him to pitch at the level he pitched, you know, towards the beginning of the season, his last stretch of games. And we can use the injury as the reason why he pitched the way he pitched, but I would like to see him back and pitching to me like the ace of this ball club. It definitely puts the Nationals, in my opinion, it does put him in a bind to a certain extent. You're going to need people like Gio Gonzalez to pitch more consistently. But I know the arms you mentioned, yeah, definitely. You know, Lucas Giolito is a guy that is projected to be one of those top young guys anyway in the next, you know, couple of years. But right now, this is the playoffs. This is the stretch run for the playoffs, and they need to have Steven Strasburg to the level where, you know, he can do what he needs to do to be an efficient pitcher. But right now, like I mentioned, they're playing the Orioles. Who does this series mean more to? In terms of the battle of what did you want to call it? The 295 battle, the battle of whatever.
Battle of 295.
The battle of 295.
It definitely means more to the Orioles. Mm-hmm. The Orioles are a team that's in a three-way fight for first place in the AL East. The Nats, you know, coming into this game, I think they had an 8.5 or 8-game lead in the NL East. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this game definitely means a lot more to the Orioles. Plus, this is like kind of the Orioles World Series right here. We all know they aren't going far in the postseason if they do make the postseason.
This is the Orioles World Series?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Orioles World Series.
Absolutely, man. It's Baltimore fans World Series because they're like, oh, look at the Nats. They're one of the top teams in the NL, you know?
Nah, they know what the deal is. the Orioles fans I talk to are realists right now. They just want to see the team start playing more consistent baseball and make a postseason run, because once the postseason comes around, anything can happen.
Well, I can't believe you said like this is the Orioles World Series. Like, this ain't no Orioles World Series. But I agree with Ray. Like, they just want to, because the Orioles fans and everybody who supports this team of the Orioles, I mean, they want them to be more consistent. They want the pitching staff to be consistent. The Nationals right now, and Will T said, they're one of the best teams in baseball. They can win more consistently. They can catch the Cubs. I think in the National League, a lot of people look at the Cubs and they're the best team in baseball or whatnot, but they can catch the Cubs if they play at a particular, level. They have the pitching staff to do it. They have the offensive guns to do it. So if, say, Ryan Zimmerman gets hot, Bryce Harper gets hot, adding that in with, the Buffalo and, Ramos and with Trey Turner and company, if those guys, they can add on to what those guys are doing, I think I believe totally this team can win the NL, period.
Agreed.
All right, well, just like, you know, we look at the Nationals winning the NL, we're looking at Team USA, the females, winning the gold for the United States in terms of basketball. We're going to talk to Miss Cecilia Towns from GladiatorHers.com to discuss USA women's basketball team winning the gold. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
The ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Soul in Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I won't just conform. No matter how you shake my core, 'cause my roots stay on deep. Oh, oh, yes, a little faith. Don't doubt it, don't doubt it. Victory is in my veins.
Urban Sports Scene. We're back. Wally, Will T, myself, Ray. We are now set to be joined by Miss Cecilia Towns, aka CC, from GladiateHers.com. She's on the line to talk about the United States women basketball, winning the gold, winning it easily at that. But before we get there,
sorry, CC, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's so sorry. We had, sorry. No, sorry.
Technical difficulties.
Yes, yes.
Sorry. before we get into the, United States women's basketball team who were so dominant, I just wanted to know, are you a fan again of gymnastics? I just asked you that, but I asked you again. I couldn't hear you the first time.
I am absolutely a fan of gymnastics. I think, you know, like a lot of girls or a lot of women now that are my age, you know, we grew up in the era where Dominique Dawes was like a big deal. So, I remember from the 1996 Olympics, like trying to do cartwheels in my grandson because I just knew that I was going to sign up for gymnastics the next day. So yeah, I'm absolutely a fan of the sport. I know the sport has, you know, a lot of issues, you know, with sort of how they deal with girls' body images and overtraining and all that sort of thing, but I'm definitely a fan.
Oh man, you like a mind reader. And the reason why I asked you is because I actually work with a girl in my full-time profession who was a teammate of Dominique Dawes, you know, here in the DMV. And she and others boycotted these Olympics when it came to gymnastics because Gabby Douglas made the team. I just want to get your take on that.
Wait, they boycotted it because she made the team?
Yes, because she qualified, I believe, seventh and all around, and yet she was still selected when there were apparently more talented girls ahead of her. That was the rationale. So I just want to see if you heard any rumblings of that.
Yeah, you know, I actually didn't get a chance to watch the U.S. trials, but I mean, I think that if anybody deserved to be on that team outside of Simone, it was Gabby. I mean, she not only because, you know, talent isn't the only reason you make certain teams, right? Like when you're building a team, you often build teams based on experience. Like everybody that's made the USA men's basketball team and everybody that made the women's basketball team, those weren't necessarily the best players in the league. You know, you're chosen because you bring different things to the table. So if anybody can bring to a young team some experience, help the girls remain composed, and they're super talented, to me, why wouldn't you do that? And I mean, when she got to the Olympics, she got third in the all around, from my understanding. So, not the main all around, but you know, the qualifying. So to me, she absolutely deserved to be there. And I wouldn't boycott, an Olympics because, you know, the former all around champion got to be on the team.
Yeah, I appreciate your insight. So shifting gears to the women's basketball team, who again was just dominant. There's no other way to describe it. Want to get your thoughts just overall on how you felt they performed.
Yeah, I mean, the only, like, you know, there's very, sometimes it's hard to describe, how, teams, I guess, function. And the word that always comes to my mind when I think of USA women's basketball is just dominant. I mean, that's how they played this Olympic season, if you want to call it. That's how they've been playing for the last six Olympics. They're just sheer dominant. And I think that, you know, obviously it's easy to say, you know, like the U.S. has more talent and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, even talented people lose. So, you know, basically these teams have been able to amass talent and, you know, a deep understanding of team play and discipline. And so I just think it's amazing what they've been able to do.
Totally agreed. Absolutely. I don't know what the sports fan in this country wants. In ways they want to see a blowout, but in ways they want to see tight games. It's always mixed reviews. But from my perspective, the overall consensus was that this was a great Olympics for these girls, and you know, they proved that they are the most talented players in the world. If there was a country though that could possibly, you know, I guess give them some competition, catch up with them, so to speak. Who would it be in your opinion?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, okay, I think if you look at sometimes where some of the international players in the U.S. come from, mm-hmm. you know, you get players from Australia, you get players from, you know, in the men's game, you get a lot of players from Europe, but you don't get a ton from Europe in the U.S. game, in the women's game. So I would think maybe Australia, I would say that I would look out for them.
Okay.
To have, like, yeah.
Lauren
yeah,
Jackson. Is Lauren Jackson still on that team?
Yeah, well, she, this was her final season. Mm. Yeah, so.
She's a baller.
I don't
she's
know.
A baller.
She is. She's a
I mean, but, you know, I think what happens with women's international basketball is very similar to what's happened in women's sports, right? Like, we're behind performance-wise compared to men, and that's because we haven't been playing as long. And so just like women's basketball in the U.S. has had to, you know, sort of take this slow grind to building up you know, its level of play and its level of attendance, like that, I think that has to happen internationally. And I think, you know, in the U.S., sports like basketball and football are automatically really big, whereas in other countries you have soccer, you have rugby that are competing for, you know, women's talent. So I think, you know, the other countries are going to get there, especially I think when the WNBA can start paying higher salaries, there will definitely be more of an incentive for, I think, the talent to develop internationally.
What was your thoughts about the overall media coverage of the games for
yeah,
for this season?
I seem to, what I sort of noticed was that before the men started playing, it was very easy for the media to pay attention to the women. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as the men's tournament or as the men's, I guess I'll call it Olympic tournament got going, like the coverage for the women sort of declined. I do know that, like, I'm in a circle of people who watch sports, who support women in sports more than probably the general population. So, you know, we were very excited for what was going on, but I think generally speaking, when the men's game picked up, they definitely started paying less and less attention to the women.
I think that's typical, unfortunately. But again, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We have Mr. Cecilia Towns joining us from GladiatorHers.com. Last question is about Brittany. What do you think about her comments in reference to saying that she could beat DeMarcus Cousins 1-on-1?
I mean, I think what she's trying to do, honestly, is smart. I mean, I think she's trying to drum up some attention for the league. They've got 1 month left in this season. In the regular season, you know. And I honestly think that's what she's trying to do on one hand. But on the other hand, I mean, she's a competitor. And, you know, Brittany has grown up playing with guys, and she's got a sort of bravado about her. So I'm going to say more power to her, because if it brings, it makes more people watch and, you know, brings more attention to women's sports, I'm all for it.
It reminds me of Ronda Rousey when she called out Floyd Mayweather. That got a lot of attention.
Right.
And it's amazing that basketball is more popular than MMA, but I think Ronda Rousey was a bigger star at the time. Maybe that's why that got more attention, but I like it. And I like her. I like Brittany's confidence. Absolutely.
Cecilia, this is Will. I have it's a loaded question, so just bear with me. In America, we like to dominate. We like winners and we like to dominate, right? And if you think about all of the programs or the sports within the Olympics, women's basketball has historically been the one sport that we have dominated the world in. Because we dominate women's basketball, why do you think that it hasn't gained enough traction back home in the States?
So many reasons. I mean, on the one hand, you could ask the same thing about something like gymnastics, right? Because, you know, it's worldwide coverage. People respect it internationally, but we don't pay attention to it here. So I think part of it is generally just American culture. I think our culture is a little different than what you find in other countries. I think, you know, we have the beast that is the NFL. We have the beast that is the NBA. And people have, like, they just, it's very difficult to attract people's attention from those major sports. So I think that's a part of it. I also think, you know, it's, you know, the issue for a lot of people, they're just not interested in seeing women in certain lights. You know, a lot of people are not comfortable with seeing strong women. A lot of people are not comfortable with seeing women do quote unquote manly type things. So I think sexism is absolutely a part of, you know, why Americans haven't bought into the WNBA and women's basketball. And I'll say more specifically women's basketball, because I think there are a lot more fans of the NCAA women than the WNBA. So I don't think it's like one thing necessarily. I think it's just the perfect storm right now. And people are going to have to strategize in different ways in order to overcome all of those things.
And CC, thanks for calling in. Real quick, how can people reach you on social media?
On all the social media. I am Sporty Esquire. And the blog, as you guys so eloquently state, is gladiateherds.com.
Awesome. CC, we want to try to get you back on. Thanks for calling in, as always, and being a guest for us. We really appreciate you all the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a good time, as usual.
Oh, thank you.
Good night, guys.
All right, take care.
Have a good one.
And that was CC Towns from GladiatorHairs.com. She's an excellent, always a person who supports the show and supports our content on social media as well. And make sure you check out her blogs on www.GladiatorHairs.com. All right, fellas, it's about time to wrap this show up.
Yep.
It was an interesting show. We had a lot of things happening. I still like
technical
the show.
Difficulties.
I know, right? I know. I take responsibilities for that. I take that in.
Okay.
All right.
As long as someone.
Real quick. You were too quick with that. Okay. No, you should have been like, nah, Wally, it wasn't your fault.
Hey, listen, man. You threw it out there, bro.
But you're supposed to save me. See, that's what homies do.
We are homies. We are homies. We're not homies. We bros. We bros, man.
That's messed up, man.
You decided to take that L.
But you're supposed to look out. You're supposed to say, like, hey, Wally.
I did look out.
You know, Wally, it wasn't you.
I looked out by helping you take your L. You wanted to take
it. So I take the responsibility. So you looked out. All right, man. Anyway, man, we appreciate you all listening to the show. Continue listening. We'll be back on next Tuesday. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Doses.
And Mega Leaders out, homie. To the swag.